Somebody asked me yesterday, how did you actually get to the point of writing the sermon that you're writing today? I have weird ways of writing sermons, and I started off actually looking, having a picture of a hem, you know, like a big long robe and a hem, and the idea about being hemmed in, and then I saw a picture of a fence, and then I was thinking about fences. And do you ever do that if you're preparing? I don't know, does anybody ever here prepare talks? And you have all kind of weird ideas of things. But anyway, the whole idea of fencing in, we are actually kind of fenced in sometimes, aren't we? By restrictions or by other people or by things that seem to be conspiring against us, difficulties or challenges. And Luke 19:43 is the first reading. Poor Colin, he's got 900 readings and Elaine scattered them amongst the congregation, but this is such a short reading, I said they'd be bobbing up and down. But Luke 19:43 says this: the day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. Not nice, is it really? Stopping people from doing stuff, really. And I don't know if ever you've been hemmed in. We're talking about whole life discipleship, and we were reviewing that at elders' meeting, and we were looking at and thinking, how are we able to kind of share our faith with others? How are we able to be whole life disciples in our life and in our work and our leisure time? And in what ways are we actually hemmed in and not able to do that? How do we have perhaps sometimes fences built around us? You see, that's not really how God wants it to be. He doesn't want to hem us in. He actually wants us to be able to fly, doesn't he? He wants us to be like kind of an eagle, you know. And I did preach ages ago, and Nick somebody else's sermon then as well, about eagles and about the flight of eagles and how God's vision and God imparting things to us, God giving us that kind of 3D vision, that 3G vision, if you like, is not fenced in and not restricted in the way that sometimes the world makes us to be. Isaiah, the prophet, who had a lot of God ideas, to be quite fair, was listening and waiting upon God one day when he heard some pretty amazing words. And something of that word was actually about eagles. I'd like to invite Derek to bring to us the reading from God's word from Isaiah about how God gives us at times this eagle vision, this 3G vision.
This is Isaiah 40, verses 26 to 31. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Isaiah had loads of God ideas, and I think part of the reason why he had God ideas was actually he waited upon God. And I love that phrase, waiting upon God. It's actually just having time, God time, just sitting and listening. And Isaiah did that, and that's why he got words like this word. And whispered in the ear of by Ron this morning. Now, the weekend you've had, if anybody wants to ask Ron and Vanda, the weekend that you've had, not a good weekend. Those who are on the prayer text will know what I'm saying. But you waited upon God this morning, didn't you? You opened up the Bible, and what reading did you get? Brilliant. Isn't it fantastic when God gives different people the same kind of stuff? Because I was actually, last night, don't believe this, will you really? Preparing my sermon at 11:45. And somebody emailed me from our Lim church and she said, oh, I wanted to share these words from God with you. And one of them fitted in really well with this morning. Quite how well it fitted in with this morning will transpire later, whether I read it or not. But God brings sometimes the same stuff to people in a community and even in the whole nation. He brings the same stuff to kind of confirm what he's saying, confirm his vision, his word to people. So then, that Isaiah passage, it talks about soaring on eagle's wings, doesn't it, towards the end of that. And that's the whole idea, what I was trying to kind of convey earlier on about the idea of about, you could call it, I suppose, 3G. Next picture, Colin. 3G glasses. And what I mean by that, don't they look cool? They really do. What I think I mean by that is that 3D is what Matthew very, very well described to us earlier on about the three different layers. But 3G is a kind of a God vision, isn't it? And I think it can be summed up in three ways, okay? Can't really be limited, but let's just say. The first one, when we actually spend time with God, when we actually wait upon him, he will often share us something of the first G, the grace of God. It says in that 1 John 3:1 passage, how great is the love that God lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Now, I think if we spend time in prayer, we begin to actually receive from God, that we actually begin to know God's love. Do you know, it's often if you just read it or if you just hear it from somebody else, it doesn't actually really become real about God's love. Do you actually really feel that God loves you? Do you really know that God loves you? Do you really feel enveloped by his love? And I think if you don't, perhaps it might be because you're going through a really tough time, but often the opposite happens actually. Or it might be because you actually haven't taken time for God to share something of his love with you. And I think if you take that God vision time, if you take that time in prayer, God will actually show his love, show his grace. He will show the fact that he loves you through that time, that one-to-one, one-on-one time. So I believe when you actually take time to be with God, he will share his grace, he will share his love with you. I'm trying to think, can you think of a time when you actually really knew, you may know it now, but when you really felt something of God's love enveloping you? If you do, that's brilliant. But if you can't, please take some time with God. I remember the first time I felt it was actually when I became a Christian. I was 15. I was in a meeting and there was an evangelist, and I remember his name, Don Double, but I can't actually remember what he was saying at all, because all I can remember is when I was listening, there must have been a real sense of the presence of God there, and I could really feel God's love and God's forgiveness just kind of like a kind of blanket around me. And that's what actually convinced me of God's love. And I believe that that was God's Holy Spirit working upon and within me. So I suppose, really, when you're analysing, like Matthew analysed the three layers of the 3D glasses, when you're analysing what are God's glasses, what are God's vision, it is really seeing things through the glasses of the Holy Spirit. It's different when you come before God and God's Holy Spirit touches you, then what is theory becomes reality. The grace of God and the love of God touches you when you spend time with God and when God's Holy Spirit is allowed to minister to you inside and out. So that is the first of the G of God's 3G glasses. The second G we can receive through prayer is God's guidance. And you know, when we're in the presence of God, you know, sometimes you really don't know which way to turn. And maybe it's not just a sense of an immediate direction, but it's also something to do with broader stuff, isn't it? If you want to be inspired as to what God wants you to do, you know, in the church, like I was saying about, you know, what are we doing in the church in the next 10 years? You know, what does God want us to do? The only way we'll know that isn't by just being logical and writing it all down. It's actually listening, spending time with God as individuals, and as a congregation, as eldership, and actually just waiting on God and saying, right then, God, what do you want us to do? What are our priorities? How can we live this whole life discipleship in our individuals' lives and also in our church and in our community? Guidance is really important. And it says, and this is the Matthew Cam moment, it says in the Beatitudes, what puts you in the best place to receive the guidance from God? And I think it's something to do with your Beatitudes, really. No, I didn't say that right, did I? Something to do with your attitudes, okay? That if your attitude is right, if you spend time with God, if you actually wait upon him, then you will actually be in place to see something more of God. I'll just get Matthew, making you into a saint now. Andy, to come, another saint, to come and read this to us. Thank you.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Receiving guidance from God, receiving direction, receiving vision from God happens when we're in that right attitude with God. And one of the Beatitudes are, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that actually means that when we are in that right relationship with God, when we've come before him, when we've spent that time in prayer, we will see God. That's a promise. That's a promise from God. And what I find kind of really exciting is the fact that all we have to do is we have to be in the right place with God. We have to come to him, ask for his forgiveness, and then he will show us stuff. He will show us his best ideas, the best things for our lives, the best things for life, our church, best things for life, our community. And that's everybody. It's not just ministers. It's not just elders. It's you. God will show you stuff. And what you do is you share it with us, and then we pray and we discern whether it's just for you or whether it's from God for the whole church. So please, I pray that you will be open by being in that right attitude with God, by spending time with him, to receive the prophetic, to receive God's direction and God's vision, like that eagle soaring. Now, God actually speaks to different people in different ways. Like I said, this morning's sermon started off with a hem of a robe. Now, where I got here from there, goodness only knows, but God does. Also, something like Upfront Church. It was a word, it was a phrase, and then I thought, what does God actually mean by that? And then gradually he began to show me more and more, and he has yet more, I'm sure, to say about that. There are so many ways in which God speaks in different ways to different people. How does God speak to you? Does God speak to you by just poking you in a direction? Does God speak to you in pictures? Does God speak to you in words? And if God doesn't speak to you, it's not because he's not speaking to you. It's because perhaps we need to take time just to be quiet. And I mean, I know that's really difficult, especially, you know, when we have children or all sorts of pressures of life. But take 5 minutes, take some time, whenever you can, just to listen to God, because it's so worth it. And then you begin, I suppose you begin to actually work out what his language is for you. What I mean by that is that God speaks to all sorts of different people in all sorts of different ways. Now, I bought a book. Not a book that I read, to be fair. I bought a book for Emily. Now, it's not about relationships or anything. It's actually for her English A-level essay. And it's called Five Love Languages. And what she's got to do is she's got to do an essay talking about how women and how men differently express things. So what she got us to do was she got us to do a kind of dictaphone thing about our wedding day. And then she's got other people's parents to do the same thing. Now, Andrew's dictaphone thing lasted about 1 minute. Mine lasted about 20. No, it wasn't that bad. But I think the teacher couldn't quite believe I'd fitted so many words in such a short time. But what she's got to do is she's got to kind of analyse that. How different people express things, how different people understand things. And it's meant to be a good book, not read it, but we'll do later. But I'm just thinking that relates really to us and God. That God speaks to each one of us. I mean, he speaks to Ron in mountains, but I mean, those who don't climb up mountains, he might speak to them in the flats, but not those flats. But anyway, but all I'm saying is, what is God's language to you? How does God speak to you? And if you don't know, get to him. And find out. Because God does speak to everybody prophetically in some way or another, and he does want to share his love and his message with you. It's a bit like that. It's a bit topical, really. It's a bit like that Cadbury's cream egg advert, isn't it? How do you do yours? It's the same thing with God. How does God speak to you? I just urge you this morning to unwrap the foil and find out. I find foil on is not good because it clinks the fillings. The third and final, you'll be glad to hear, G of the 3G vision is God's glory. God speaks to us, firstly, just to go over again, in his grace and love. He speaks to us through guidance and direction, through the prophetic word. But also, when we come before God in prayer, there are times when we do catch a glimpse of God's glory. Of his power, of his might, of his majesty. Sometimes you just pray and nothing really seems to happen. You just have a kind of normal conversation with God. And sometimes it seems a little bit one way. Sometimes I don't let him get a word in edgeways, but that's another story. But sometimes when you pray, it's a pretty amazing and dynamic experience. Often that would be perhaps when you're at an event, you know, like Soul Survivor or something. I'm so looking forward to going again this year. But sometimes it's something like that. Or sometimes it happens, like my mum, when she was baptised in the Holy Spirit, when she really received God's Holy Spirit for the first time, it was actually, I think I've shared this before with people, in a bedroom kneeling on the floor. So it can be for different people. It's Cadbury's cream egg again. God's glory can be revealed to people at different times very powerfully. Individually or in a wider occasion. But the main thing is to actually be touched by God, to be blessed by God, it has to be at a time when we've made space and time for him. It's very unusual to have the Emmaus Road experience, not the Emmaus Road, the Damascus Road, got the wrong road, never been good on geography. It's not likely, is it, really, to have the kind of Damascus Road experience when you're walking along and you know, you got kind of blinded. But obviously that was important for Saul, straight Paul. But most of us don't have that. Most of us have an experience of God when we're actually taking time to be with him, waiting upon him in his presence. And that's exactly what happened, my final reading, to Isaiah. I mentioned to you that he heard a lot of stuff. And the Isaiah 6 passage is one example of how he spent time. And this was when he very first started off being a prophet. At the very beginning, when he got called by God to actually speak and to be receiving regularly. Wouldn't that be brilliant? That he's called to be a prophet. I'm going to be called. I mean, some people are set aside to be prophets, it says, doesn't it? And that's because God gives them visions all of the time. Now, maybe some of you are prophets. It should be, because in every church, there should be at least one prophet. It says so in the Bible. But just be open to that. But in Isaiah chapter 6, it talks about how that all started. But it only started because Isaiah was actually waiting and listening to God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, that's Isaiah, saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe, see the link there with my original picture, filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings, with two wings that covered their faces, with two that covered their feet, and with two that were flying. And they were calling one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. That's an amazing passage, isn't it? It's pretty amazing to think of those flying seraphs. I'm not surprised they're singing out, "Holy, holy, holy Lord is the God, and the whole earth is full of his glory." Because they've just seen this kind of amazing experience of an indescribable, uncontainable God. And I was just thinking about you and about me, and thinking about those three G's, the glory and, well, the first one was the grace and love of God. When have you felt that? And then the second one, the guidance of God. When have you felt that? I could give you an example of when I felt that, but I think probably I'll be here rather too long. But thinking about the glory of God, that powerful presence, have you ever felt that? Even just a teeny weeny glimpse of it? Would it not be good to pray that God would show you something of that? Would it not be good, as we pray for God's love to be revealed, that you can then share his love with others, as you pray that God's guidance and direction will be given to you, also, would it not be good to pray that we can catch something of that glimpse of that glory of God, so it can ignite us and inspire us to go on and to serve him and to proclaim him? Having said all of that, when Isaiah saw it, it didn't come without strings attached. We see at the end of this part of the passage, Isaiah again. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "Fire hazard." No, he didn't. He said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." That's kind of searing kind of forgiveness and love and purity from God. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Now, I think God knew who was listening. Because Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." If we pray, as I've known people say to me in the past, "I've prayed that God will reveal himself to me and I can really know his awesome power and presence," that doesn't come without strings attached. Be careful what you pray for. Because if you receive that kind of blessing, that kind of anointing, that powerful presence of God, actually it will change you and move you. And you will be finding yourself, even before you think about it, saying, "Here am I, send me." That's at the beginning of a huge chunky book of Isaiah. Isaiah was used by God, and used by God in some very difficult circumstances. So this powerful presence of God really did catapult him into whole life. Discipleship. I'm trying to think of an experience I've had of that powerful presence of God. I haven't really had nothing quite like that with coal, but I have had, you know, when you say about resting in the Spirit, when you're in a place in the presence of God and God's Holy Spirit touches you, you get those kind of Holy Spirit glasses touching you and blessing you so much that you kind of crumple in a heap on the floor, but it doesn't hurt. And I can remember that happening, but that happened at a time when I was trying to decide. Sometimes it's difficult to decide, isn't it, whether to do something for God. Trying to decide whether really this era role, this evangelism and renewal role that we took upon as well as ministry here, whether it was the right thing. And it's almost like God kind of pushed me down and says, "Go on, go for it." So that was nice. I enjoyed that kind of falling down in the Spirit because it's a wonderful thing and it didn't hurt at all and it was brilliant and I really felt blessing from God. But then I had to get back up again. And then when I got up, God was saying to me, "Here you are, I'm sending you." Receive from God, and as you receive, move out for him. And as we just reflect on perhaps what God might be saying to you about his grace and his love, he does love you, And his grace is immeasurably more than you could ever dream or imagine. And as you think of something about God's guidance and God's vision and God's direction for us and for a church and all the pictures and the words and all the sorts of different ways your Cadbury's cream wraps unwraps for you. And then you think of God's glory. Isaiah being catapulted into new stuff for God. Do you want to be in the place of the presence of God? Dare you put on his 3G glasses? Let us pray. We thank you, Father God. We thank you that you are an awesome God. And if we even so much as catch a glimpse of your glory and majesty, we could do nothing but bow down in adoration and worship. We pray, Father, that you will help us to be in that right attitude, to want to receive and offer our whole lives to you, that we can be living, breathing, moving disciples for you, equipped by your Holy Spirit to give you glory and to bring in your kingdom, to bring glory to the King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.